But every year, this time, people look back. They look back at the old year. They reminisce about everything that has happened. How many of y'all look back? Think about, you know, all the good things, all the bad things. Just kind of evaluate. Morning talk shows. All week long, sitting in the break room, I've seen morning talk shows showing video clips of the memorable times of the year. Radio stations. Every time I turn on the radio, and there's playlists playing to songs that they came out in 2017, which nothing good came out this year, music-wise. Media publications. I mean, Desiring God, Gospel Coalition, all these Christian media publications. They're bringing out the most read articles. John Piper's article on gun control has been the biggest article read this year. I mean, everybody's doing it. In fact, we're doing it. We think back, we evaluate our year, and we see what went well, what didn't go so well. We check out our diets. We check our waistline. I don't, but... We check out our parenting skills. I do this because, or lack thereof, because sometimes our parenting skills are terrible. My wife's is great. My wife does a great job. To have three kids under four and to still be sane and still have hair on her head, she does great. Me, on the other hand, not so much. We check our bucket list. How many of us have bucket lists, things we want to accomplish before we die? I got things I want to do. I mean, I don't have a list, but I mean, we want to make sure we accomplish those things. If we didn't do it this year, we want to make sure the new year we do. We check our 401ks. How many of y'all want to retire this year? I mean, I want to retire this year, and I'm nowhere near there, but we check out these things to see where we're at. We evaluate. Whether we consciously do it or not, we are always at the end of the year, at the end of a season, at the end of a time, we evaluate. We evaluate our status in this thing called life. And this morning, I want us to look back by way of evaluation. I want us to look back at us as Grace Baptist Church here in China Grove. I think it's healthy for us. Your elders here at Grace agree it is healthy for us to evaluate. In fact, that's a lot of what we do in our meetings. We kind of look and see, what are we doing good? Is this working? The way we're doing home group, does that work? Way we do Sunday school, way we sit in the mornings. You noticed last week our chairs were different. I'm glad they're this way this week because I can look over at my kids sitting over there, and when they get noisy or rowdy, I can give them the evil eye. Cooper, I can see Cooper. Well, I could before he left, which we'll talk about that after service, Tommy. But we can evaluate. Now, we have something in common here at Grace Baptist. We're Christians. So we evaluate by a certain standard, that being Scripture. We also have something else in common here. Hunter, if you would, bring up church covenant. If y'all remember the beginning of this year, second Sunday in January, we read the covenant together. I was up here, and I think it's healthy for us to do this, not just at New Year's, but throughout the year, because we've agreed upon these things. We've agreed not that this covenant trumps Scripture, but that this covenant is based upon Scripture. And we agree that these things are true. We agree that these things are things that we deem important. And most importantly, Christ deems them important. And we seek to uphold them. And so before we get into the passage of Scripture that we're going to be in this morning, we're going to read our covenant so we got it fresh in mind. And then look at ourselves this morning. We're going to evaluate. We're going to examine our own hearts, ourselves. So if you would follow along, and Hunter, if you'll just follow along with me. Having been brought by divine grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we joyfully and with the utmost seriousness now enter into this covenant with one another as one body of Christ. We acknowledge our dependence upon God and the Bible, and we constantly need the assistance of the Holy Spirit, especially in fulfilling this covenant. Let's just stop here for a second. We acknowledge our dependence upon God, and we need God. We need Him. And for the assistance, get back there, yeah. The assistance of the Holy Spirit is needed in fulfilling this covenant. So with that, let's pray before we continue reading any further, because we need a God who we depend upon. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a God who is great and powerful. A God who is who saw the seriousness of our need, who saw the seriousness of our sin, and Lord, sent His Son as a sacrifice for us, Lord. Lord, we need You this morning. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, cause us to see You anew today. Cause us to see You in a way that causes us to just be excited, to burn with excitement, to burn with desire for You, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sin. Lord, cause us to see You anew today. Lord, assist us with Your Holy Spirit as we seek to fulfill this covenant, as we seek to be like Christ, as we follow His example. In Your holy name I pray. Amen. All right, let's continue reading. Now, therefore, in the presence of God and by His grace, we commit ourselves to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We will walk together in Christian love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We will pray for one another, serve one another, giving preference to one another in honor, and seek after that which is good for one another. We will bear one another's burdens in all humility, and accept one another as the Lord has accepted us. We will affectionately care for, watch over, and faithfully admonish one another as God gives us opportunity. We will strive to live as Christ in the world, and denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we will seek to fulfill our calling to lead a holy life, to be salt and light, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will guard our tongues, not speaking evil or complaining against one another, avoiding all gossip, not lying to one another, but instead speaking words that admonish one another. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but faithfully attend the church's meetings for corporate worship, prayer, study, and fellowship, and we will use our spiritual gifts for the common good. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all the nations. We will faithfully participate in the ordinances of the church, which we're going to do here this morning, and endeavor after unity in mind and doctrine. We will both submit to the church's discipline upon ourselves and lovingly assume our responsibility to participate in the discipline of other members as taught in Scripture. We will abstain from all practices which bring unwarranted harm to the body or jeopardize our own faith or the faith of others. We will practice personal and family worship to train our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We will be witnesses for Christ, seeking the salvation of our family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, acquaintances, and all the world. We will, when we move from this place as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. There's our covenant. So I ask, how are we doing? Are we fulfilling these things. Now notice, this isn't a checklist to go through, to check off like we do our chores. This is a covenant that we've agreed upon. We've agreed to keep us accountable. Now, there is room for grace here. We wouldn't be here if there was not room for grace. But as I think we see a similar evaluation taking place in the Church of Rome. If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans. Paul begins in the book of Romans by laying out a Christian theology. He lays out the gospel. Then in chapter 12, we see the marks of a true Christian. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. I think this passage right here really sums up our covenant. Then we see the law fulfilled through love. In chapter 13, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything except for love. Then in chapter 14, we see that we are to bear with one another, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. What makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding? I mean, we, as a body, as a church body here at Grace, what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding? I think we're going to find that in chapter 15. So if you will, if you haven't found your way to 15 yet, turn over to 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And this is going to be our primary text for this morning, although we will be jumping around a little bit. Here we go. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, and through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So what does this have to do with making for peace, for mutual upbuilding? Chapter 15 comes in on the heels of chapter 14, where Paul is explaining to the church in Rome to bear with those who have a weak conscience concerning food. Now, though, does anybody have a weak conscience concerning food here this morning? I mean, we've gone out to eat with some of y'all. Some of y'all have come out eat at our house, and I know y'all don't have a problem with food. I mean, in fact, most of y'all were here early for the first time all year last week when we had donuts. So nobody has a problem with food here. But this is the issue in this passage. But our context, though it's not food consumption, and I don't even want to make it alcohol consumption, which many will do with this passage in the chapters before. Because what we see here is much more than food. What we see here is much more than drink. What we see here is a manner in which the church is to interact and to fellowship together. And what better example do we have here than Christ? Christ's example is what we see. As I mentioned earlier, Paul writes to the church in Rome on matters of great theological importance. He's seeking to encourage them by way of the gospel, which we know, and here at Grace, and we preach, John preaches the gospel week after week. And if he doesn't, we're going to fire him, because the gospel is important. We need it, even as Christians. We need it week after week after week. We need to be reminded, stirred up, encouraged with the gospel. We see that we are dead in our sins, but through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we are now alive to God. We now walk in the newness of life, as Romans 6 reminds us. We see that sin produced death in us, but those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We've been changed. We've been made new. And this entire book here of Romans points to that, points to why Christ is worthy to be our example. That's why it's important this morning. This is why this passage is a big deal to us this morning as we evaluate. Because if we're going to evaluate, we have to have a standard. Christ is that standard. Christ is that example. I don't stand up here for you to look at me as an example. But look at Christ who is in me as the example. Paul says that as well. So, our church covenant, which is scripture-based, we cannot fulfill this covenant on our own. Our methods, our ideas, our feelings just don't cut it. Paul realizes this and saw it as necessary to write to Romans about it. But thankfully, we know the one who gives us perfect example. That's Christ. And that's the ultimate point here this morning. That's the ultimate truth. If you don't get anything out of this message, Christ is our example. Look to Christ. And under that, we see several truths here, several reasons why Christ being our example is greatly important to us. It's going to come right out of the passage here. It's going to be very expositional, and we're just going to just start with verse 1, and we're going to plow on through. So if you would, look at verse 1 with me again. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So first, Christ's example is important to us because we have an obligation. We have an obligation to one another to bear, not to just tolerate. Not to just tolerate, but to bear. Scott is not just about tolerating my tardiness in Sunday school. It's to bear. To shoulder one another's burdens. Willing to take up one another. Not only your weaknesses, not only your failings, but also that of another's. We have an obligation. It's not an option. We don't get to sign up for it and say, no, I'll take next week. You got an obligation this week. Now, it doesn't mean that we only bear with those who are in our home group. Susan sent Leela a text this week, give us an update on her dad. And it doesn't mean I say, you know what, we'll be in home group next year. We'll talk next year. I'm still dealing with the Welches and the Barclays and Miss Gunther. I mean, I wait till tomorrow and then we'll talk. No, we have an obligation to those who are in need, who need prayer, who are dealing with the struggles of life. It's not just the weak, but those who are sick, who are hurting, those who are depressed, those who are having trouble with children, those who are dealing with aging parents, those who are weary, who are worn out from work, those who are dealing with sin. What about trouble in marriage? How many of you are dealing with these sorts of things? I mean, how many of you are shouldering to help bear these burdens? I forgot to tell you that this evaluation, this whole evaluation deal, it hurts a little bit. It causes us to look deep, causes us to examine the dark and dusty corners of our lives. Evaluation hurts. But we have an obligation to one another. This is what we signed up for. To bear one another's burdens. I mean, we all have these problems. But how many of you have told the person sitting beside of you? I mean, you sit in the same places, except for Scott Blackledge, who moves around week after week. Everybody sits in pretty much the same place. Y'all are in the same place today, for the most part, as you were when I preached back in the summer. So, I mean, you sit beside these people week after week. But how many of you have told the family sitting beside of you what your struggles are? How many of you have told somebody in your home group, you know, I'm really struggling. I got a 4-year-old that talks back, that has got a mouth on her like a teenage girl. And she's starting to get the vocabulary too. And she's got the sass. We're struggling. The struggle is real. Hashtag parenthood, if you want to go there. But it's real. Marriage. How many of you are struggling in your marriage? I mean, just having day-to-day issues. You got finances that just don't add up. You've got work that is slow, work that takes you out of town all the time. I mean, just that's a strain. How many of you have somebody shouldering that burden alongside of you? Now, to bear one another's burdens, this isn't to please ourselves. There's nothing pleasing about getting a call in the middle of the night because somebody is having problems, whether it be marital problems, whether it be health problems. Now, you could call me. I would wake up and answer the phone. I'd hang the phone up and not even remember anything that happened in that conversation. You can ask my wife. We have many conversations like that in the middle of the night. In fact, our kids showed up in the bed last night. She said, I put them in there, and I don't remember. I was sleeping good last night. But we're called to bear one another's burdens. And not for our good, but for your good, Scott. I'm to bear yours for your good. For your good, Randy. For your good, Aaron. And I could go on around. Which brings us to our second reason why Christ's example is so important to us. Look at verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. It's for one another's good. It's we seek to please one another for your good, to build you up. The obligation we have is not just to listen about another's marital problems. It's not just enough to refer someone to a child-rearing expert, but in shouldering one another's burdens. I've been thankful to each of you who have offered to keep our kids so Lila and I could have a date night. Thank you. Those kinds of things mean the world to anybody with young kids. Parents with older children, you know it's true, right? It means the world to us for somebody to offer to keep our kids, because we know what they are 24/7. But for you to keep for 2 hours, y'all must be crazy. But we thank you, because it's good for us. It's good for us to have a moment to breathe. That's shouldering one another's burdens. That's a small thing. We do so in a manner that seeks not to leave one in despair. It's for your good. We don't share this information that's going on in our lives, the nitty gritty things in life. We don't share them just to walk away and still be just feel consumed by it. But we're to encourage one another, pray for one another, meet with one another. Even if that means meeting in the middle of the night if you have to, if the matter is so pressing. This is where we made a covenant together to use our spiritual gifts for the common good. Not just for anybody, but for the body, body here at Grace. We do this also because it's Christ's example, which brings us to our third reason why Christ being our example is so important. The fact that Christ is our example. Christ did not please himself. We did not celebrate last week something real pleasing. I mean, yes, we celebrated the birth of a child, a Savior. But can anybody remind me exactly where Jesus came from? Just shout it out. Where was Jesus before he was born? Heaven. Christ came from heaven. Jesus left perfect perfection. It's a little redundant, but when we're referring to heaven, I mean, we can't be redundant enough, I don't think, using the word perfect, because Christ left perfectness. Left heaven to be born of a virgin. Born to a sinner. Laid in a filthy manger. Lived a perfect life among sinners. Filthy, rotten sinners. He took on flesh. The same flesh that we, as sinful men and women, wear every day. Why? So he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So that he might die a painful death on the cross. So that he might overcome death, rise again. Does any of that sound pleasing? Anybody want to sign up? No. Does not. However, he was pleased to offer himself up as a sacrifice for us. This is the example we see here. Jesus willing to give everything for a people that knew him not, that cared not for him. He bore the full weight of our burden. And this is our example as we bear with one another as Christians. Christ bore our sin, bore the full weight of it. We're not being asked to bear the full weight of one another's sins. Our sins have been, that burden's been taken. But we're to bear with the burdens of a people living in a sinful world, a people living, heading towards glory, heading towards heaven. Verse 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, and through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. Christ is our example. And that's a big deal because it's biblical. We seek to be a biblical church. We seek to be to do things in a biblical fashion. What Paul's saying here is not a new idea. It's been written before. It's biblical. Scripture is the basis for how we live together as Christians, as a local body. Even right here in China Grove, North Carolina, Scripture is for our instruction, that we might have endurance, that we might have encouragement. If I'm struggling with something, don't point me to a secular counselor. Don't do it. Point me to the great and mighty counselor. Remind me of the gospel that saved my soul. Jesus Christ. Because through the encouragement of Scripture, we have hope. That's our obligation. As Christians, we need to work diligently to be able to offer biblical counsel to one another. Home group leaders. We need to make our home groups a place to offer biblical counsel to one another. I'm not saying you have to go and be certified as a biblical counselor. But you got to have a heart and a mind with a desire to counsel one another. A desire to see hope in people's lives. a desire to see people who are hurting realize that Christ offers that hope. These are not my words, but that of Scripture. God works these things for our good, so that we might glorify Him. We have hope in Christ's salvation imparted to us. We have hope in His promise to sanctify us in accordance with Christ. According to His example, we have harmony with one another. We're going to take this a little further in the next points. Verse 6, we see our sixth reason why this is important. It's critical to our unity. That together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we're the body of Christ, we're to live out this example. And by living out this example, we are united in one voice that glorifies God. We are united in one hope, one truth, one gospel message. Verse 6 again, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our gospel message. Christ being our example is our gospel message. The example of Christ that we follow, the biblically based covenant that we uphold, declares our gospel message. When we live together according to this example, we declare that Jesus is the Christ. We declare that He did, in fact, die a death that pardoned our sin. That we now live without condemnation. That we serve a risen Savior. Isn't that great? Why y'all look so sad? This is great news. This is the gospel message. This is the message that we proclaim. This is the banner that we fly. This is what separates us from the rest of the world. If we're not willing to bear one another's burdens, counsel one another, encourage one another, endure with one another, then we're declaring a gospel about a God that does not care for His people. I want y'all to let that sink in a second. I apologize because oftentimes I declare a gospel by my actions, by my unwillingness to serve, that says, God doesn't care about His people. If we don't care about our own people, people who we share a common Savior, a common theology, a common doctrine, a common God with, if we don't care enough for one another, then why would our gospel proclaim anything different? We're saying we serve a selfish God, a vengeful God, an angry, unjust God. But we know that the root of our Scripture, the root of this truth here, we know this not to be the case. We know that God is love, that God sent His Son to die for us. We know that God is good and righteous and holy. So how will they know we are Christians? By our love. That brings me to our last truth here in verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, y'all have heard me this morning say love, that word love, 11 times in this entire message. 3 times just now, 5 times in Scripture reading, none in this passage, by the way, and 3 times in our covenant. Hunter, if you would, bring the first bit of our covenant back up. Next one, please. Next slide. There we go. By His grace, we commit ourselves to love God. So we're committing to love God in our covenant. Then, let's see, a couple lines down. We will walk together in Christian love. Doing what? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, we're going to love God. We've agreed to do that. God's worthy of our love. And we're going to walk together in Christian love. Yeah, I'm pulling this out of verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, in Lee's not here this morning, but in Lee's New American Standard version, his says, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. I love this because that word accept is much bigger than just welcoming and accepting. It means to literally bear one another, to take on, to shoulder one another. And if we're going to do this as Christ has done with us, then we're going to have to love. This tempers everything that we do as fellow Christians. Christ accepted us because of love. Love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. John also writes in 1 John, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. So if we serve a God who loves, are we not to love? And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love, we see it in the negative here, does not know God because God is love. Once again, we're getting a little redundant with words here, but when you're talking about God's love, can you get too redundant? Love. If we're going to be true to ourselves in this new year as a body here at Grace, the reason why we don't do these things in our covenant, which was just up there, the reason we failed to keep our covenant, if we want to get to the heart of the matter, the reason we don't bear one another's burdens, the reason we don't strive with one another, the reason we don't get excited to meet together, it's because we don't love. I think all, at some point or another, we all lack in love. We all lack in love. We don't love perfectly. We struggle even to love those who are most precious to us at times. Because, quite frankly, I am very unlovable. So is my wife. So are my children. So is my family. And if I struggle to love them sometimes, same with your families, then we're going to struggle to love one another and love one another well. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying we don't love one another at all. That there's no love in this place. Because I love you guys. I say that truly. But we don't love perfectly. We don't love rightly sometimes. Sometimes we love ourselves a little more than we love another. And if we're going to be true to ourselves, John breaks it down quite simply. Believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. These two things, knowing that Christ has accepted us, has loved us, will cause us to, in turn, love one another. If we keep the gospel ever before us, we see the love that Christ poured out on us, and we have no excuse to not love one another, not willing to sacrifice for one another, not willing to not bear one another's burdens. When we look back at our covenant, we will not walk together outside of love. We will not pray for one another except out of love. We will not bear one another's burdens, affectionately care for or admonish one another unless we have love. If we have love, we will share the gospel of Christ. If we have love, we will hold our tongues. If we have love, we will desire to assemble together. We will. How many of you loved getting out of bed this morning, as cold as it was, to bundle up and come here? I'm excited to see you guys. I ain't seen you all week. But Christ has put that love in my heart. It's nothing I've worked up. Love. See the trend here? We can't do any of these things that our covenant says. We can't even be that example of Christ unless we love. Love's how we fulfill this example. And because of Christ's love, we can in turn love. Christ's love is the reason he was born to this earth. We go to the cross for our sin. He goes to the cross for our sin. Love is the reason why he bore our sin, why his body was broken, why his blood was spilled, which we're going to remember here this morning. Because of his work on the cross, we too know love and can love. We too can live this example. If you don't know Christ today, I pray that your New Year resolution here will be to know him. Not just this year, because resolutions are pretty short-lived, so let's not make it a resolution, but a life change. But you know Christ for eternity. If you know Christ, my hope is that we will love. Not just in the new year. It's a good place to start because that's tomorrow. Or we can start right now. End this year good. But I desire for us to love. I desire for people to walk into this building and to see the body assembled here at Grace Baptist and say, you know what? These people love. They love one another. They're not content just to get their coffee and sit down and keep to themselves, but they desire to love, to communicate, to fellowship, to bear one another's burdens. And that we will love God firstly. And we will love God first because that outflow of love manifests itself in how we love one another. That we will accept one another as Christ has accepted us. That we will love one another as Christ has loved us. That's a lot of love. In fact, I mean, you see my notes. You see all that red? That's every time love is in there. That's a lot of love that Christ poured out for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love that sent your Son to the cross for our sins. Lord, thank you for recognizing our need. Thank you for seeing that we had no hope outside of Christ. And Lord, thank you for recognizing our need for a Savior, even this side of the cross. Lord, forgive us when we sin. Forgive us when we don't love as you have loved us. Cause us to see you in a new way today. Lord, cause us to love one another rightly. Lord, grow us in all we say and do. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen.